Take your Bibles, please. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're talking about and preaching about on Sunday night the great adventure of prayer. And it is a great adventure. It's a wonderful thing, a great privilege. But we need to be reminded from time to time of some of the principles that are important in the matter of prayer. And prayer is so vitally important. I'll tell you, if we can get a praying church, we'll have a church that'll do good. If people would be prayer warriors and continue to pray and stick with it and stay with it. Tonight I want to preach on the subject. The title of the message is Be Persistent in Prayer. Be persistent in prayer. We need to keep with it and not give up. We have two scriptures we'll read tonight, Luke chapter 11, and we'll start with verse 5. These are stories that most of you have heard, but let's be reminded of them. Luke chapter 11, verse 5, and he said unto them, Jesus speaking, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that's a good Bible word that means he didn't give up, he stuck with it. Stayed with it. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now let's go to chapter 18. If you'll turn over there, Luke chapter 18. And let's start with verse 1, another story that is very similar to this, and I think illustrates the same principle. And that is importunity in prayer, being persistent in prayer, not giving up in prayer. In Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in a city, and here's the illustration, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. That's a good description of a judge, isn't it? Pay your ticket, get out of here. In verse 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. Somebody was mistreating her, and she was a widow lady, and it was a difficult time in her life. And he would not for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard a man, yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That is, when he gets ready to do it, it'll happen fast. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's think about these things just a little bit, and let me share a real story with you that really happened. This is a true story. It's a story about a man by the name of Roger Sims. Roger Sims fought in World War II, and he was going home after he had been dismissed from the Army. He was in his uniform. It was on May the 7th, and he was hitchhiking. Back in those days, a lot of soldiers would hitchhike, and most people would pick them up. It was a lot safer back in those days. So a man came by in a brand new black shiny Cadillac, and he went ahead and stuck his thumb out to hitchhike, thinking he'll probably not stop, but that man stopped and pulled over in that bright brand new black Cadillac. And as they were riding along, he got about 20 minutes before where he was going. The man was going to Chicago, and the soldier's house was about 20 minutes from there. And he was a Christian, the soldier was, and he thought, I better witness to this man. I don't know if he'll listen, but I want to witness to him. And he did, and the man got saved. The man wept, pulled over, put his head on the steering wheel, and began to weep and cry, and trusted Christ as his Savior. His name was Mr. Hanover, and he owned a big business in Chicago. Well, 5 years went by, and 5 years later, Roger Sims was married, and he had a couple of children, and he had his own business, and he had to go to Chicago. While he was packing his suitcase, the card fell out that the man had given him, Mr. Hanover. And so he thought, well, I'll just stop by his place of business and visit with him a little while. So he went to the office, and the lady said, well, you cannot see Mr. Hanover, but his wife is here. You can talk to her. And so he said, well, I'd be glad to. I'd like to talk to her. Miss Hanover came out. She was a lady in her 50s, a very attractive lady. And she walked up to him and said, I understand that you knew my husband. And he said, yes, I had been hitchhiking, and he gave me a ride. And I remember talking to him. She said, well, when did that actually happen? He said, I remember very well because it was the day I got out of the service, May the 7th, and that was 5 years ago. She said, I want to ask you, was there anything special about that day? Was there anything special about that day? He said, yes, he got saved. He gave his life to Christ. Your husband did. And then he said, is he here? Could I see him? She began to sob and weep and tell him the story that her husband, between the time he let him out and got to Chicago, he had a wreck and died and went out into eternity. But she said, I had been praying for him for years, but I thought God didn't hear my prayer. And I never thought he got saved. And I got bitter at God and angry at God because I thought he died unsaved, but I found out today that he was saved. And she got her heart right with God. Isn't that a good story? You see, don't ever give up in your praying. Don't ever give up in your praying. Sometimes it does get discouraging. Let's just be honest about it. Sometimes you pray and pray and it seems like nothing happens. It seems like it's very discouraging. Months go by and years go by and it just seems like God's not going to answer your prayer. But you know, Jesus understands all of that. That's why he gave us these two texts that I read to you tonight. They're not in the Bible by accident. They're there to teach us something and to teach us something that God wants us to see. So he gave us those two parables, and I think one of the purposes in giving those two stories was that we would not get discouraged in our prayer life. But I do believe all of us have probably been there. I have been there, I can promise you that. I've seen times I thought it would never change, or God would never intervene, or thought that maybe he just wasn't listening to my prayer, or maybe I wasn't really in God's will, and I wondered about that. We get discouraged. Sometimes we get discouraged because we're not consistent in our prayer life, and we have to straighten that out. And sometimes we get discouraged because our prayers are not answered. Now let's talk about three or four things here very quickly. First of all, the circumstances of the one who prays. The circumstances of the one who prays. You see, as we look at those stories, we see people that came to the end of their resources. They came to the end of themselves and what they had. And in Luke chapter 11, there was a man that needed bread. He didn't have any bread. He had a guest. His only hope was to go to a neighbor and help him out. And I remind you that that was very, very important in their culture. It would have been highly embarrassing and humiliating if he were not able to get bread and feed his guests as they came through. It would show that he had been derelict in his responsibility. So he had to go outside of himself to get some help. And the same was true with the woman. She had to go outside of herself. She had an adversary. She had no means to be able to work it out within her own power and her own self. And so she goes to the judge. And this was a mean old judge who didn't care much about anybody or anything. But she went to him and kept on asking. Even though she may have been a little discouraged about it, the woman wanted some help. So she had out of herself, just like the man. Now, here's what humanism says to us today. Humanism says that you're your own God. Therefore, you can work it all out yourself. You don't need to go to God. You don't need prayer. You don't need those things. You just work it out yourself. I don't think we as Christians ought to be like humanists. I believe we ought to be like Christians. Amen. Humanists say, I can work it out. I don't need God. And I find a lot of Christians that get themselves, they can, that they don't need God. And humanists say, you determine your own fate to you. No, it isn't. Prayer makes a world of difference. Christianity doesn't say what humanism says. Christianity says, I am dependent on God, and I know I am, and I'm glad that I am dependent on God. I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm dependent on God. Non-believers say religion is a crutch for those who are emotionally weak. And people that talk about praying and all of that, that's just an emotional crutch. It doesn't mean anything. But I beg to differ, because life is found in Jesus Christ. That's where it really starts, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not a crutch, it is life. John 5:40, and you will not come to me, why? That you might have what? Life. Jesus, I'm the place where you get life. And the reason people won't come to him is they don't want life, but he gives life. And so prayer admits that we are his children and admits that we are glad that we are dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the very thing that unlocks the power of God. If we want the power of God on Worth Baptist Church, we must be a praying people. I believe one reason we had a good revival is because our people were so good to pray. I sensed, and so did the evangelists. And believe me, they go all over the country. And he said, I believe God came down, and I don't see that all the time. And you must have a praying people. And I'm glad that we do, but we can do more, can we not? We can pray more. We can understand it a whole lot more. It is not this attitude of, poor me, what am I going to do? We have the scripture that says in John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. Well, that's good for us to understand. Without God, we can do nothing. But the flip side of that spiritual truth and coin is this, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so there's the other side of that. And it's not just a poor me mentality. I can't do anything. But it's saying and admitting that I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we have to believe that God can use us and bless us. Well, secondly, there's the conflict of the one who prays. The circumstances and then the conflict of the one who prays. You see, it almost would be implied in these stories that God was resistant and God did not want to do something for us. But that's not what he's saying, and that's not what he's talking about here. What I believe he's doing is teaching us to agonize with him. Did you know that prayers work? That prayer is agonizing? That prayer takes a lot of discipline, and prayer is hard work if you really pray like you should, as often as you should, and as long as you should before God. And God is teaching us to pray, and that prayer is agonizing. I know somebody that agonized in prayer, and if he did, we need to, and that was Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. Who was that? That was Jesus. Strong crying and tears in his eyes. How long has it been since we prayed like that? Really praying. Maybe it was this morning. Thank God if it was. Look at Jesus as he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying so hard about that, praying so deep before the Father that sweat drops, as it were blood, came out on his body. He was agonizing in something that was important in something called prayer, labor, conflict. Too often, I think we just mention things to Jesus. We just sort of casually mention them. Friend, we need to do more than casually mention them. We need to agonize in prayer. We need to cry sometimes. We need to weep. We need to pray from our hearts with all that is within us emotionally and spiritually to Almighty God. But sometimes it seems like God is delaying the answer to our prayer. But don't misjudge God. You see, all God's doing is developing your character and developing your faith. And God wants us... You see, if God answered every prayer just like that, where would faith ever come in? Now, I know that it requires faith for God to answer a quick prayer. I still believe that. But otherwise, what would it be if God always answered our prayer? We'd get so used to it, we'd never have to agonize, we'd never have to exercise faith and wait upon the Lord and trust Him. He's developing our character and our faith. And the fault in us would be that we fail to persevere, that we give up too quick, we give up too early, and we've got to keep on praying. The third thing is the concern of the one who prays. The concern of the one who prays. As I mentioned earlier, they had an acute need. They needed bread. In one case, he needed bread. In the other case, the widow woman needed justice and help during a difficult time. I'm telling you that prayer is not just to be done at the church house. Prayer is to be done as we meet the things in our life of everyday experience. That's what he's telling us. It's about bread. It's about injustice. It's about other problems that come up in our lives, and we need to pray about those things. It's about money. It's about a lot of things. But we need to pray. And I might add, we need to pray specifically. We ought to pray specifically. Not, Lord, help Cousin Billy. It's all right if you want to help Cousin Billy. Amen. But we need to be more specific than that. That's very general. Now, let's say you had a new babysitter and you had some little children. And you brought the new babysitter in and you said to her, now take care of my kids. We'll see you later. I don't know any sane parent who cares about their children who would do that. You take the average mother, when that babysitter, especially if she's new, comes in, she'll say, now I want to tell you, she eats that, she needs her bottle right at this time. And he eats at this time. And Will, if it's Will, he eats all the time. And that kind of thing. And I want them, the older ones have studies, and they've got to get those, that has to be done tonight. They've got a test tomorrow. And I want them in bed by 9 o'clock, television off, and all of that kind of thing. Because they want to be specific in their instructions. Prayer, I think, should be specific. Not just general. Lord, bless the family. Lord, bless us. Lord, bless the church. Lord, bless Cousin Billy. Lord, bless Cousin Jane. We ought to pray specifically about things and do it on purpose. Our concerns, our needs, the burdens of our heart, to really pray unto God. Fourthly, we see the challenge of the one who prays. The challenge of the one who prays. Again, I said, sometimes it seems like God doesn't hear us. It seems sometimes useless and fruitless. I've been there. I've prayed about some things, as I said earlier, over a long period of time. How many of you have raised kids? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you have grandchildren? Raise your hand. Brother, the only thing about grandchildren is they'll just keep you on your knees like your children did. Amen? Like we did our parents, probably. But We need to understand that we just have to keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. And one day, God will answer our prayers in His time, in His way, as we have faith, as we see the doors open. We have to wait upon the Lord and pray. And I could give you illustration after illustration tonight in my own personal life where I thought that the things would never change. But God, one day in His time, speedily took care of it. I remember having someone that was a leader in our church in Indiana. And this man was very subtle in what he did and how he did it. And he had everybody fooled. And this man was on the side doing things that he should not do. He was going to Vegas and gambling. No leader of a church ought to be doing that. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And he was doing a lot of other things that he shouldn't have been doing, like selling drugs out of the back of his business. He had a couple of businesses and a lot of different things that were going on. And I couldn't do anything about it because I didn't have the evidence. I didn't have the goods. I didn't know what I could do with it. And there would be somebody would come to me and say, "We know so-and-so's doing so-and-so." I'd say, "Well, will you go with me and face him?" And you know how people who gossip, they don't ever want to face the people they're gossiping about or telling the story about or whatever the deal may be. They say, "No, no, I don't want to get involved." So I just had to keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, until one day I led a captain on the police department to the Lord. And that captain on the police department, when he got saved, had been gambling in a store downtown on the second floor with this leader in our church. And he asked me not too long after he got saved, "By the way, so-and-so goes to your church. Why is he up there?" And I said, "Are you willing to back that up? Are you willing to?" And he said, "Well, sure, I will." I said, "That's what he's doing." And so once he showed up and saw that, once George showed up at our church and he saw that he had been saved, he packed his bag, sold out his place, went down to Florida, bought a place that sold beer and everything else, and tried to make some money. And I can tell you more to that story, but I kept waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. "Lord, what are you going to do? I'm doing all I can do. I know I have a responsibility. I know he's a leader. What am I going to do?" Finally, one day, God took care of it just like that. I can tell you a number of stories like that. But it wasn't fun waiting on the Lord, I can tell you that. There have been some rough situations that were like that. But God answers prayer. All the time, by the way, when this woman was approaching this judge, it looked like he didn't care. It looked like nothing was happening. But all the time, something was happening. And she couldn't see that right around her, the immediate thing. She looked and couldn't see. Something's happening. She thought he was saying, "Leave me alone. Don't bother me. I'm not going to answer your request." But all the time, something was going on. And finally, he said, "I've just got to do something about this lady. I've just got to help her out." And that's exactly what he did. Faith is not looking at everything that's happening around us as proof that God is going to answer that prayer. If you do that, if you just turn immediately to your circumstances and you think that God has to show you right now that he's answering that prayer, you'll make a mistake. You have to wait upon the Lord and let him work. See how he works it out. See what he brings together in your life. By the way, let me just underscore all that. Your heart's got to be right before you pray. If you've got sin in your life and you're practicing it, just throw this out the window. It doesn't mean anything to you until you get your heart right with God. If you have known, practiced sin in your life, God has no obligation whatsoever to answer your prayer, whether it's short-lived or whether it's something you just keep on praying, keep on praying. So sometimes God takes months to prepare, to answer the prayer, and immediately when he wants to. You see, we are so concerned about the product. What we want it, and we want it now, the product. God wants us to be more concerned about the process and about who is in charge and to focus on him during that time. That's the way God works in our lives. Now, the last thing, the constancy of the one who prays. And the constancy is to focus on the Lord because prayer creates relationship. You see, the more you pray to God, and the more you depend on him, and the more you learn to wait upon the Lord, the more faith you have in him, the more you have a great relationship with him. Friend, I want to tell you tonight, it pays to pray. It pays to not quit praying. It pays to not give up on your praying. My dad, when he was in his 80s, had a brother who was in his 80s. And Uncle Roy was not the kindest person in the world. He was sort of an old hateful codger, to be honest with you. And I remember being scared of him when I was a little boy. If he was around, it was just like, you know, everybody's scared of Uncle Roy. He's so mean. But my daddy kept praying for him, kept praying for him, kept praying for him, kept praying for him. And over in Greenville, Texas, Dr. Jack Powers was preaching. Some of you know him. And my uncle was there in a meeting. Dr. Powers preached, And my uncle got saved in his 80s. And he had a total, complete change. And I remember going over to his house and visiting with he and my sweet little aunt, who had been praying for him too for years, Aunt Dolly, who was a godly Christian lady. And what a joy it was for me to walk in their house with Uncle Roy and Aunt Dolly, and both of them were saved. Daddy never quit praying. Aunt Dolly never quit praying. I remember an uncle by the name of Arville. Uncle Arville used to drink. He'd drive bulldozers and 18-wheeler trucks and all that kind of thing. He was a rough fellow, and he was real tough on his kids and everything. Daddy kept praying for him. We kept praying for him. Everybody wanted Uncle Arville to get saved. His daddy was a preacher. His mother was a godly lady by the name of Grace. And I know I heard her pray when I was a little boy for her son, Arville. But finally, one day, Uncle Arville had a stroke. And after he had that stroke, he got his life right with God, got saved, and turned his life back to the Lord, and died as a born-again believer. You see, don't ever quit praying. I don't know what your burden is tonight. I don't know what it is that you may feel like, well, God's just never going to answer that prayer. And by the way, if he never answers it, it's best for you and me. If he says no, I mean. But God is going to answer the prayer, yes, wait, or no, at least those three areas. But we must have faith and trust God. God absolutely knows what is best. Don't quit praying. Take your burden to God tonight. Do you have a wayward child? Just keep on praying for them. You have an unsaved loved one? Just keep on praying for them. Do you have a financial need? Just keep on praying until God does something. Do you have need for a job? Just keep on praying until God has what he wants to do, to teach you what he wants, until he gives you that job. Just keep on praying, whatever it may be. Christian worker, keep praying. God will bless your ministry, whoever you are. Just keep on praying. And we know the old song, till light breaks through. Keep on praying till God answers you. Amen? Don't quit praying. Just keep praying. And sooner or later, you'll see God work. And brother, when he works, he can do it just like that. Just like that. And most of us can say to that, amen and amen. Let's stand, please. If you're here without Christ tonight, you need to come and trust him as your Savior. And prayer is how you get saved. You call on him. You know you are a sinner and you believe he died for you and was buried and arose. And you're willing to pray. It's asking. Prayer is asking. It's asking God to save you. And he said, if you ask me, I will save you. But Christian, whatever the problems are, whatever the burdens, and I know that many of you tonight in this building, I promise I don't even have to ask you. I know there are burdens that you cannot share with anybody. They are unspoken requests. While our heads are bowed just a moment, how many of you in the building would say, no one looking around, yes, I do have a very definite unspoken request, something I don't share with everybody else, but it's an unspoken request. Would you raise your hand, say, I have one? I wish you could see, but that's just about everybody in the building. Friend, bring your burden to the Lord. Don't quit praying. Keep trusting. God will see you through. God will teach you. God will help you. And God will draw you nearer to himself. And God in his time, in his way, will answer that prayer. Father, help us to continue in the matter of prayer. Thank you for these illustrations about our going to you in prayer and continuing in prayer and not giving up. Lord, help us to be people of importunity. Praying, praying, praying. Help us to constantly bring our burdens to you. Never give up. Never feel like that you don't care, because we know you do. Help us to just have faith in you and trust you. In Jesus' name.